Your Cleveland Cavaliers winners again. It's a big day in Cleveland sports, my friend. You got a 16-1 Cavs team, Ty Jerome, who is a hell of a basketball player, leading the Cavaliers in a victory against one of the worst rosters to ever play the game of basketball, or worst lineups to ever play the game of basketball, apparently, to people. And we have a game tonight.
That was hilarious yesterday. Before the game, I thought
one
it was
guy had
a
never
joke
played for them.
When I saw the scratches for the Pelicans, I mean, I already knew like McCollum and Zion, you know, weren't going to play. And the next thing you know, Ingram was out. And then really everybody they had started in the previous game was out. And then they just put together, they cobbled together a lineup. And I'm like, how does an NBA team even have enough players
cobbled it together
to do
right.
it? And then Owen said they started a guy last night who was not on the team.
Alfred Payton.
That's incredible.
Alfred Payton.
He was a high pick like a decade ago.
I always love it when we talk about the basketball players and you, oh, so-and-so was a so-and-so. Like guys that people wouldn't even think
he
of.
He was like Orlando Magic back in the day.
Poor CJ McCollum.
22 hours ago, Shams reported free agent guard Payton has agreed to a deal with the Pelicans. I don't know if he agreed. I will only do it if you start me in the next 8 hours.
Was it a one-game-only deal?
Might have been.
Because if that's...
He's on a one-day contract.
Because here's... That's actually disappointing. Because imagine all the retired NBA players that I would have rather seen. If I just was willingly, if I volunteered to watch Tyson and Paul, because the allure was what? Seeing a 60-year-old Mike Tyson that you absolutely loved and has been famous forever. Think of all the NBA guys. Forget NBA guys. Think about the rappers that have wanted to play basketball. That would have been incredible for just one game.
Just in New Orleans itself. I mean...
That are just
half
down there.
Half of the Cash Money millionaires.
Oh, my
and
God.
All of the hot boys.
So I feel bad about
Silk the Shocker. Can he play?
Of course he can.
I got to see if I still have those CDs.
Silk the Shooter.
I was driving home the other day and I went, you know what? And I said, play Big Timers. And I was like, oh, this is a trip down memory lane. That's a fine New Orleans group right there. I said poor CJ McCollum. He's played 4 games so far this year. He has an adductor injury.
Uh-oh.
Which is always difficult to say. He is making almost $30 million this year, though, so. Not necessarily poor CJ McCollum. Yeah, poor, pitiful CJ McCollum. I remember it's like, we got to get him out of Portland. We got to get him out of Portland. Then he went to New Orleans where, I mean, you just mire in obscurity, basically, is what it is.
There is a, to NBA people, a world-famous photo of him in college. Was he...
Lehigh.
Which one?
Lehigh?
No. In high school. I meant in high school.
He went to Glen Oak.
He went to Glen Oak.
Yeah.
And so did Costa Kufos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the two of them are in a photo together, and McCollum is like 5'3".
Yes.
And Costa is close to 7 feet.
Yeah, 6'10 or something.
It's unbelievable.
It is a very big disparity.
And if you would have said which guy ends up having the decade career in the NBA,
you would think it would be Costa Kufos.
Yeah, you would have gone with him.
I think played in Europe for quite a while, too. Yeah. He's 33 years old, CJ McCollum is. So there you go. So Cavaliers won again yesterday. We do have a big game tonight, I guess. I've never seen it. Honestly, it's tough, man. There's a cloud hanging over it, and... I know one way to get that cloud out of there, but I don't think anybody is... according to the text you got during the show a couple of days ago, there's no point even talking about it. I don't think I want to start with that, because you had brought up during the podcast on Tuesday, like, yeah, I got a text about the future of the Browns. And I went, great. I don't want to bring it up in the open of a show as we're getting ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers, but there's just a cloud that's hanging over the team right now. And I got to tell you, I don't know if I've seen fans as downtrodden as this. I really don't. And I it's gotten to a point where it's like, if they do make a move, like I wasn't talking about moves because I was mad on Monday. I mean, I was upset with how they lost, but, you know, you're 2-8. It was, where are you going to go from here? But now we get to this game, and there were plenty of people going, hey, why don't they just make the move now? And we're going, well, you can't do that. We brought John on to kind of explain. It's like, you can't. It's a 4-day week. It's really a 3-day week because you got to get ready for Pittsburgh and a dramatic turnaround. You just can't. You go into every game as a pro sports team thinking you can win. And the Browns do this morning think that they can win. And you can't, as upsetting as it is to fans, you can't just turn around and lop off your legs and just not give yourself a chance to win that game on Thursday. Now, you could, and this is what's getting some people thinking here, yeah, if they wanted to make a change tomorrow, they can make a change tomorrow and probably get your ducks in order for a Monday night game, because you even have an extra day, a Monday night game against Denver on December 2nd. See, that's what's kind of got some people's bull running over here going, well, things don't go well tonight because you do have that extra day even. You have a mini bye, this, that, and the other. I used to love Thursday night football. Winning on Thursday night's the best. I hope they do win tonight, but, man, I'm not getting any zeal. I'm not getting any excitement. I'm not getting any of it. I'm not. I don't like the vibe. I don't like the feeling. I don't like that. I have no inclination to do a pep rally for anybody to try to fake an emotion that isn't there. I hope that they win. I obviously hope that they win. And I will be hopeful that they win tonight at 8:15. But I don't know if they... I know that they're trying to win, but I just don't feel that emotion.
Well, it's definitely the difference between being a young team that's not supposed to win versus being an old team that was supposed to win.
Yes.
That's not good.
That's why I'm saying, like,
because
this is...
who are you playing for? Like, what? It'd be nice to see Nick Chubb turn into Nick Chubb again, especially against the team that injured him, right?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. I'm trying to think of things that would be really cool tonight. You know, Jameis, if he with Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman.
And I like Jameis.
Somehow get into the end zone a bunch tonight, then you're like, well, if we did it against this defense, then maybe some people could start to really buy into the question we've had over the last few weeks about Jameis and whether, you know, you'd be okay with him being the starting quarterback next year. But outside of that, I really don't know. It'd be nice to have, you know, Miles to have a dominant performance. You know, he's been quiet of late, so that would be nice to have that.
Well, It got turned up to 11 yesterday all day on social media with Steelers fans. It was the pony stuff that happened yesterday, and then he did the fake quote and said that I said that TJ Watt's a loser, which I said, no, a powder is a loser. And he said, well, you're calling TJ Watt a loser, and I basically said, you know, whatever, and that turned into a...
Well, and it sucks because
we're... Online harassment for 24 hours.
And we're fighting a losing battle. All the trash talk that we like to talk against Pittsburgh, we'll look at their record and look at our record. Yeah. Like, the only thing we can do is go back to 2020, which was 4 years ago. That doesn't make me feel any better. You know, that's the hard part about it.
It makes me feel a little better, but really in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't. I mean, I feel... Because it's like, all right, this is your last playoff victory. We had a playoff victory more recent than you did. And now it's going to make, when they go to the playoffs, because they're going to the playoffs, unless there is a huge downfall that I don't see, which would be great. When they go to the playoffs now, I'm rooting that much harder for them to lose. But it's all anti-Pittsburgh. It's not pro-Cleveland. Like, last year was fun because it's like, all right, I don't like Pittsburgh, never will, but Cleveland was doing well. I was more interested in rooting for Cleveland. Now I'm just like, well, I hope Pittsburgh loses. Yeah, my own home's a mess. So I'm just sitting there avoiding the issues in my own home while I'm looking over at my neighbors hoping that they fail, which is not what anybody wants to do. So that's been
almost in my entire life as a Browns fan has been just rooting against Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
And I think you feel the same way. You feel the same way I do. And I think a lot of fans feel the same way. It's like, man, things were going so well last year. Like, they love this team. It was such a likable group. They thought it was so great. And this thing just went to hell. And now you're 2-8 and you got Pittsburgh coming to town. And it reminds me of like when the station first started. It's like, all right, here comes Pittsburgh and we'll see where it goes.
You don't think Stefanski is giving a fiery Steelers week speech this week? You don't think he has shaken them, gotten them amped up for tonight to run out in front of the faithful?
Whatever it takes.
You think he reemerges that guy?
I would hope so. Do you think that they're playing for jobs tonight?
I think coordinators could get fired after this game.
Well, then you go in there. If you really are, if they were going, Ken, we're going to close down the station if they don't win today, I would go in there and I don't know how I'd do it without cussing, but I'd be in everybody's face man to man. Because if they're not going to challenge themselves, I'm going to challenge them myself.
Well, it's just so tough.
Like, somebody's got to challenge them.
It's so tough after what happened in that fourth quarter last week. That was such a killer.
Yeah. And guys,
because it made no sense. The game was tight. I mean, you were in a tie game. You had a chance to win. I know nobody would have really cared if you beat the Saints, but it's just nice to get a victory when everybody is, you know, throwing the mud at your football team.
Because now I think a lot of people, they're like, I'm getting pushback here, and this is because we're trying to get the dust is still way up in the air. So I'm getting pushback going, well, if you get the number one overall pick, like before, like it would be like, hey, well, at least we could get the number one overall pick. Now, if you get the number one overall pick, I'm saying, hey, you got to take Travis Hunter. He's the best overall football player. And you guys keep telling me you don't like this draft class. Well, wait a minute. Do we want this guy who's not a quarterback? Now it's a big back and forth. And I'm thinking, man, nothing's perfect now to people. So if you could just win a couple, it'd be great. But after the New Orleans game, I'm going, where's your win? Denver's playing better. Feather in the cap to your guy, Sean Payton. They're playing better. And then down the line, you want to play the schedule game. Maybe Miami, but probably not. Tua's back. They're playing better. We'll see if he's still there December 29th. But I don't see it in that sense, Tone. So now you have this problem where I don't know where fans need to go. And I think they're just thinking, you know, damn it. I want them to win. But I don't think a lot of people think they have a shot. And I think a lot of fans are downtrodden thinking they don't have a shot. And they're going to tune in tonight because it's the Browns. But that's basically what the only reason they're going to do it. Because it's going to be nighttime out and you can't go out and rake leaves because the weather's going to be absolutely terrible. Oh, that's another thing to it. The weather's going to be absolutely terrible. So any way you slice it, it ain't that good. And if they go out there and they get hammered tonight, well then, all bets are off tomorrow morning. Like, I've calmed down over the last 72 hours. I'm like, man, they're probably more than likely, like 80% sure they're going to go and finish the season with this group. If they go and they get boat raced tonight and you got that whole stadium of fans waving their yellow towels and doing all that crap, I know I'm going to be mad in the morning and I'm going to be saying some things that might be regrettable because I'm not going to be in the right headspace because I'm going to be angry, but it's going to be pure emotion. And I got to tell you, if you're the owner of the football team and you're just I know it's all green. Everything's green. Money spent is money spent. But, man, to have all that happen to you and have to watch it again when you have that much being paid. What is how expensive is the offense? I lose count.
Oh, it's
191 million,
well,
they said?
I was going to say well over 150 million. But
okay.
Yeah.
So you have a triple-digit million-dollar offense. And if they don't win, that's probably going to be because that offense doesn't perform up to snuff against that football team. So then you have that go down. And you're saying coordinators, if you fire certain coordinators, I'm going to go, why did you fire the ones to begin with? Like, if you let go of Ken Dorsey after this game, Tone, why'd you let go of Alex Van Pelt to begin with? Then my mind starts racing. My mind starts spinning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's natural. That I think fans will be talking about more than firing coordinators tomorrow.
Of course they will.
That's the case.
But you said that there's a possibility you could let go of coordinators tomorrow after this loss if they were to lose tonight. Hopefully they don't. Hopefully they win. But if they were to, then I'm thinking, man, now you the whole conversation about culture. You can't tell me they're stable now because you fired the people you brought in. The stability conversation to me is done. Now, you're a good arguer. You can argue anything, but I will argue that tooth and nail. If you're firing guys you just hired before the season, I ain't going to listen to it. I'm going to be a very unhappy camper tomorrow if they lose this game and they lose it convincingly.
I got to be honest. I'm very impressed that you are this passionate about tonight's game because what I am seeing online, people are not right now. People are not passionate about tonight's game, which means they don't really care about the outcome either way. Jay Casey on X, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. To Ken's point, this is the first time I felt complete indifference toward the Browns in my 50 years as a fan. Taylor Tolliver, I'm watching Pistons Hornets instead of the Browns game tonight. Like, you're getting very fired up, which is good. That shows that there is still passion about this team. I am not sensing that in a lot of places.
But remember what I'm fired up about. I'm more fired up that we're in this position.
We've been fired up about that all year.
Well, you're still going to be fired up then tomorrow.
But I'm not fired up that, like, you and I like to, you know, we like to say, what was the mantra you said before the season the one day? when you did the preseason thing? What was the thing that people kept saying? What the hell was it? It's not the same anymore. What the hell was it that you kept saying?
That was then, this is now?
That was then, this is now, yes. I want to get excited about the game. I'm just mad that we're in this position. Mm-hmm. In the words of the late, great Macho Man Randy Savage, justifiably in a position I'd rather not be in. And that's where we're at. That's why I'm mad. That's my passion. My passion isn't going out there and winning one for the Gipper or giving a Friday Night Lights speech. That's not it. My passion is anger and frustration that, one, a game that I love, a team that I love, is going out there and not feeling that passion. I don't feel it from them. The fan base doesn't feel from them. We love the fans. I can't even get it from them. And two, I can't give them an argument to do it. So I'm stuck, and I'm angry over it. That's why. It's Thursday night. It's the Steelers, and I mean, I could sit here for 4 hours and try to do a pep rally, and I think you guys would think that this is the fakest thing I've ever said in my life. And if I do anything, I may be wrong a bunch. I'll never do fake. As long as I live.
Owen was nodding. I think Owen was in agreement.
Because it would be fake, and you know it would be fake.
Let's do one fake segment, though, today.
No.
Okay. That wasn't it?
No. No, I'm not. I didn't give them a pep speech saying that they had a chance. I didn't do that.
How's the Muni lot right now? We filled up.
I'd love to hear the pep speech. That is, you shouldn't even be in this position right now, guys. That's it.
No, they should be in this position. It's justifiably.
I feel like we've been doing that all year.
Yeah,
I think we've done those shows.
The Muni lot looks like a Kmart parking lot right now.
Hey, they've been repurposing those.
Yeah, they have. It's true.
They might repurpose the Muni lot.
A lot of them are becoming churches now. Yep, maybe they have to do that. But you know what? We'll talk about that at another time.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
128-100. Cavs now 16-1. I know they're not undefeated anymore. 16-1 looks damn good in the ledger.
Looks great.
Obviously not as good as 17-0, but still pretty damn good.
Okay.
As they came back. Second night of a back-to-back. Obviously aided by the fact the Pelicans sat their entire normal team. But, hey, still got to go out and win a basketball game. And you know what was really nice? We've been talking about Ty Jerome, who we'll hear from in a second. Jalen Tyson, the rookie. You know, people were wondering if he was going to play in that Celtics game, which just would have been nice to see just from the standpoint of now that we know we lost the game. It would have been nice to see the rookie out there. But he ended up getting in last night with 7-12. Had 16 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. So he was all over the place, which was good to see. I don't care who your competition is. That's pretty darn good.
Did you see who made an appearance in the first quarter?
Who's that?
Luke Travers.
Oh, yes. Yes. What did you think?
It was the Luke Travers game. And I realized last night I might have accidentally said Caleb Porter Jr. instead of Craig Porter Jr.
It happens.
I just thought of that. I'm an embarrassment.
That's okay. You know who's not an embarrassment?
Who's that?
Ty Jerome.
No, he's far from it.
29 points. He went 7 of 12 from three-point range. So Jeff Thomas had played this clip. I want to play it again because one of the things you're noticing about Kenny Atkinson, your coach, it's pretty honest when he's talking about his basketball team.
Those moments don't happen a lot in the NBA where one guy just gets it going like that and you just felt like, this is crazy. This is Ty Jerome. I mean, I love Ty, but geez, it was like a superstar performance. Quite honestly, great for the crowd. Obviously, great for our group. Great for Ty.
I love that. It's the same thing.
I loved it so
much.
I put it in the open, and then Jeff played it.
And now we played it again.
Does so and so have a good show? You know, they're a really great guy. When you start with they're a really great guy, that means you know what you think of their, what they do on the air. And what you think they do on the air ain't good. And you go, I love Ty. That means something different.
Well, he's having such an interesting career as a late first-round pick because people couldn't stop talking about him at Golden State. And then when we signed him, I remember, you don't hit all these, but that was one that I was, very excited about.
Yeah, you were.
I was down on the Max Strus signing, and I was like, but Ty Jerome, well, what happened? Max Strus had a very solid all-around year, and then Ty Jerome didn't play. He didn't even play. He played 2 games last year. So he was out, and we were wondering, is he ever going to be a Cavalier? He signed a 4-year deal. Well, he comes back this year. Guys, he's shooting 55% from three-point range. But it's not only that. He's running the point. He's 6'5 and running the point, and then he can kind of slide over and do the catch-and-shoot stuff at two-guard, and then he has that. He has myriad moves inside. Like, if he gets a small guy on his back, he just knows what to do. I just wonder, like, do you think Ty Jerome still thinks, hey, I can have a much better career than just this role player? And then Kenny Atkinson's like, I mean, come on, it's Ty Jerome. Like, how do you think he feels when he hears that?
Possibly.
But Atkinson is, he is all about truth. And I remember he said something about a week ago about Caris LeVert, where he kind of came in, and when he did all his one-on-ones and film study of everybody, he was brutally honest. And with Caris, he's just like, you got to stop dribbling. Like, this isn't your strength. And now Caris is having the best year he's had in the NBA, at least the most efficient he has shot the ball in the NBA. He's like, you're playing alongside Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. We don't need you to dribble the ball. And so I think there is sometimes that honesty can turn people away, but when you're winning, you know, the buy-in is very easy.
It is.
And I think he's going to have the full buy-in at this point.
Should be. I mean, at 16-1, that should be everybody's main goal.
Here's Jerome, by the way, on this massive, massive good shooting and all the confidence.
The amount of work I put in, my teammates, coaching staff, like, perfect storm. You believe in yourself. Everyone around you believes in you. Coach is empowering everybody. You know, if I pass up a shot, I'll get yelled at. You know, that type of belief from everyone around me. You have no choice but to believe in yourself.
I love the aggression from both the Cavaliers and the Guardians. Everything's supposed to be positive, aggression, go for it, try to stretch it, try to do what makes you best. I enjoy this from Kenny Atkinson. This is nice.
It seems like guys actually work on their game, too. Which is really important. You assume that's a baseline of being
a
pro.
You're trying to say JB didn't have people working on the game.
I think, you know, I've always wondered. Like, obviously, JB wanted Mobley to do certain things, be better, but just did he not know how to stress it in the right way? Those are questions we'll always ask, but are irrelevant now as long as they're playing the way they are. There was a fun and lighthearted moment after the game because George Niang, Tristan Thompson, had a chance to catch up with Mr. Cavalier Austin Carr.
Tristan, it looked like you got a little upset. The guy was trying to shoot the ball right in front of your face. It was like, get that bum for me.
It's gonna lay for AC out the dark.
Put AC in the bag.
AC out the dark.
The look on George Niang, audio courtesy of FanDuel TV, the look on George Niang, he could not believe that Austin let it slip.
He says that when he's not on the radio or on TV.
That was on TV. Yeah. It was in the postgame show.
But I'm saying, it's like all of a sudden that's what he does when he's not always on and he forgot.
Now, wait a second. Don't they let him swear?
I am offended.
Well, that's why they call him Mr. Cavalier. It's not because he played for the team. It's because he's
It's cable TV.
Language.
Aren't you allowed to swear a little bit on cable TV these days? Haven't they changed the rules?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it seem that way?
I don't think
of the movies they show.
It was also Safe Harbor, so, I mean, come on.
I know, I'm very offended.
The West Coast games.
Of our generation.
They should let Austin just be Austin and the West Coast games, because then it's late. One final note. Another professional team coming to Cleveland. Kenny, get ready. Get your season tickets printed, because Dan Gilbert in the Rock Entertainment Group told CNBC on Wednesday it intends to submit a proposal for a WNBA expansion team as the league is about to explode, grow to 16 teams by 2028.
This is exciting. We got to figure out a name for the team.
You don't think they'd go back to the Rockers?
Do you want to go back to something that technically didn't work?
It did not work. It did not work at all.
What would be the name of the WNBA team?
The Indians.
216-474-0092.
Why did you...
216-474-0092.
You want to get people on your side?
0092. Outstanding, Tony.
We're taking it back.
That would be such a troll move. That's it for About Last Night.
I think we got to get a market watch going for Thursday, for tonight. You ready?
My mission is simple: to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
You told me before the show, Tone, this is, I think, without fees, $28. Mitch has 50, or excuse me, Owen has 50 bucks all in.
Yeah, that's with fees.
With fees and everything.
I went to Anthony's website And with the fees, it's like $45.
$45. Every dollar counts. That's why we do the Market Watch.
So they even put a little arrow to tell you whether or not things are going up or things are going down.
On your site, you can say, I am a fan of the Cleveland Browns or I am a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't know if that changes your fee or whatever. Yeah. So I put Steelers just to see if it would like change a number.
It probably gives the seller the option to prioritize.
Oh, okay.
But of course, nobody's telling the truth. But
I've sold tickets before and it never says, hey, do you want to sell these tickets to this guy? You put them on the market.
There was a time where and even now I still would be like, man, I know that it's almost impossible to vet, but I think people would be like, hey, you want my tickets? You want my tickets? You want my tickets? Or they go on Facebook and they go, hey, I can't make Thursday night's game. I'm willing to sell these to a Browns fan.
They make it clear, yeah.
They make it abundantly clear. If you or your friends who are Browns fans want to buy my tickets, let me know. I'll sell them for face, whatever. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Are people willing to go through that rigmarole right now? Or are they just selling them and they don't care?
Yeah, I mean, my friends who sold their tickets on Monday, pretty good seats in the upper deck.
Yeah.
But like the first row of the upper deck.
Uh-huh.
So he was able to get face value, and he's like, it has to be a Steelers fan. He goes, there's no way a Browns fan's buying that ticket for now. And I'm looking at what you could get into the lower bowl. I mean, if you've ever wanted to go to a Browns game, and it's going to be in prime time, got to bundle up a little bit. But if you've ever wanted to go to a game and be able to sit close, I mean, you got tickets 75, 55 right here in the corner, 70, like near the tunnel, 74.
Near the tunnel, like, 74.
This is a Steelers game. So if you've ever just wanted to go a football game and you can do it and you could sit close, this would be the game to do it, wouldn't
it? Anybody going to work, 216-474-0092, do you care who buys your tickets right now? Do you care? Because the Steelers, like, I think that we've had years, like during the 0-16 year, 1-15 year, where it was a, like, there were a lot of Giants fans that season.
Oh, I remember
there
that.
Were a lot of Cowboys fans. Yes, there were a lot of Steelers fans, but I didn't think there was as many Steelers fans as I thought there should be or could be, I beg your pardon. Because, well, if you compare it to the Cowboys or anybody else, like, wow, yeah, it's... But I think that people did, even then, try to... And I'd like to sell them to a Browns fan, not necessarily a Steelers fan. Cowboys, I don't think they care. Giants, I don't think they care. It is what it is. But I think with the Steelers, I do think it matters. Now, Mike Tomlin had talked about it earlier this week. He said it's not quite the takeover that we had in Washington or Dallas or somewhere else, or like Los Angeles or Vegas, I should say, because it's so close. And he said a lot of Browns fans keep their tickets, so they don't want that to happen. I'm telling you, man, I'm not picking up the best vibes. I hate to overuse that term. I'm not picking up the best feeling from the fan base right now. It's like they're not just disappointed. They're also mad. And it's almost like some fans want to prove a point. And what that point is, I think we're getting what that point is. It's like they are very upset with the way things are going right now. And they're very upset with the possibility of things not really having a chance to get fully fixed over the next 2 years, got to find out how long that contract is, before they can get it really going again. I think that some people are pretty upset. Even if they wanted change a couple of years ago, I think some folks are pretty upset with it because fans are allowed to be fans. And I wonder for fans now, do you just not care who buys these tickets tonight if you're selling the tickets?
I imagine you're just trying to get the most amount of money possible, no matter what.
I still
clothing, no matter what gear the fan that buys your seat is wearing.
I still, as mad as I've been, and I've been mad this year, I still can't bring myself to do it. It's my personal pride. You know, they can be 2-8. I'm not, and I can be upset with them. I don't want to let them drag me down with them.
But I wonder, Kenny, if the fans are so fed up and so inclined to send a message to ownership that having that place be Steelers West, Pittsburgh West, actually thinks that pushes forward this whole process of where they want to get to.
So if you have face value tickets, all right, someone in a Steelers jersey, you know they're a Steelers fan. They're wearing an old faded Carnell Lake jersey that they wore to a wedding just last week. They're willing to offer you face value. a guy in a Browns jersey, a brand new, pristine 95 Myles Garrett jersey, goes, I'll give you up to $50 less. Would you take the $50 less, or would you sell it to the Steeler fan? You.
I think I'm trying to make the money.
I'd take the $50 less.
That to me doesn't make me feel better. That doesn't make me feel better about anything.
It doesn't.
Especially, and again, we're not in the position that some of these fans who spend their hard-earned money on season tickets every year, I've been hearing from them more and more every week, and I'm like, God bless, you guys have been through everything, and here we are again, and it feels, I know things can change.
Yes.
The drop of a hat right now in the world of the NFL, but it feels hopeless right now again for those fans. They just want to be made whole. They want to be made not to look like a fool for dumping their hard-earned money on this football team again.
Robert in Euclid. Robert, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. I don't care who buys my tickets. I'm going to get 30, 40 cents on a dollar. I don't care. And listen, they're going to run this thing back. Trust me, they're going to run it back. They're not going to make any changes. And we're, as a fan, listen, I'm a union laborer. I don't make a lot of money. I make a living to support my family. But I buy tickets. Like, I'm the type of person that's going to get squeezed here. And I don't like it. I mean, we're forced to do this. I hope it's 50% Steelers fans tonight, because unless that happens, these people don't care. They're going to run deep at test out here. They're going to run them all out here again. And
well,
we're
though, I have
holding bag.
I have to tell you, Robert, no disrespect, but it's going to be far too cold for DiBenesta to be out here tonight. Thank you for the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't hate you for telling me the truth, Robert. I mean, those are your feelings, and I think that that's where a lot of people are at. I still, if it were like, Kenny, I'll give you up till $50 off. You got to give me $50 off. All right, fine. If I knew it was a Browns fan, I'd have to do it, and you can call me a fool for it. It was just, I can't let that do it. I don't think that they're going to run it back because of guys like Robert.
That's kind of where I've been at.
And I know that, you know, everybody sits there and they tell me, and I'm not trying to give away what we could sell, but outsiders are saying, you guys are stupid if you do this, that, and the other. There's seven games left. Who knows what can happen over the next seven games? I mean, you could say, how many times have we seen something where it's like, you can't do that in November? By the time the end of December comes around, it's like, yeah, I can kind of see it.
That's how it goes every time.
Yeah, I could kind of see it going this way. All right, 216-474-0092. If you have tickets, you're selling them. Do you care who buys your tickets? Is it a personal pride with you? It's like, hey, man, these players, they come and go. I'm here to stay. I'm not going to sell it to a Steeler fan. Or are you like, you know what? Just like what Robert said, I'm sending a message tonight.